What is missing today in the church is failure to recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Dr. Tony Evans says the evidence of that recognition is when we decide to go public with our commitment to Jesus.
You get righteousness by your faith in Christ, but you only get delivered by your confession of Christ.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Sometimes there's a difference between what we believe and what we admit to believing. Dr. Evans says that can be a dangerous distinction, both during our life and after it. You'll want to turn to Romans 10:9 as he begins today's lesson.
We have been looking at the names of Jesus. We've looked at the name Jesus, which means Savior, Deliverer, or Rescuer. We've looked at the name Christ, which is the Anointed One, the one dubbed and designated by God to fulfill the offices of prophet, priest, and king for his people. Today, I want to look at the name Lord. When the fullest expression of Jesus is given, it is given in this phrase, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is his human name. Christ is his office. Lord is his title. This passage has led to a great deal of misunderstanding and confusion. But the implications are nothing short of staggering. We're told that if you confess with your mouth, verse 9, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, something about that ought to catch your attention, and that is that that verse says that there are two things you need to get saved. It says you must confess with your mouth, and you must believe in your heart. And when you do those two things, you will be saved. Now, what ought to capture your attention about that is that there is a dual requirement for salvation which goes against so many other scriptures that do not give you a dual requirement of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. He that believeth shall be converted. Over and over again, we're only told that to be saved, you must place faith alone in Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. But in this passage, we're told you've got to do two things. You've got to not only believe, but you must also confess if you're going to be saved. Which is it? Must I do one thing, or is there a dual requirement? What happens if I believed on Christ, have a heart attack, and never confess? Am I saved, or am I not? Part of the confusion wraps around the word saved. We've addressed that before, but let me repeat it again. The word saved has three tenses to it. There's salvation in the past from the penalty of sin. There is salvation in the future from the very presence of sin. And then there is salvation in the present from the power of sin. But the word saved is used of all three. So when you see the word saved, you've got to ask, which tense is he referring to? Is he referring to salvation yesterday when you accept Jesus as your personal substitute? Is he talking about salvation tomorrow when sin will no longer be an issue or a question? Or is he talking about salvation in the present when I'm overwhelmed with the world, the flesh, and the devil and the effects of the three in my life? It is an understanding which saved he's referring to that will help you to make sense of the verse. In fact, he helps us a little bit in verse 10 when he says in verse 10, with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. So you're made righteous simply by the belief. But he says you're not saved until you confess. So I would like to submit to you that he is not talking here about going to heaven. He's talking about bringing heaven to you. He's not talking about salvation past from the penalty of sin or salvation future from the presence of sin. He's talking about salvation present from the power of sin and its agents, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the circumstances that are the result of all three. He's speaking present tense because he's speaking to believers, not non-believers. Now, by way of introduction, this becomes a staggering concept. Because he says to be saved in the present, not talking about going to heaven, but having heaven come to you, to be saved in history, to be delivered in history, to find victory in history, to be an overcomer in history, demands more than your faith in Christ. It demands your confession of Jesus as Lord. The word Lord, from the Greek word kurios, is used in the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, as the word for Yahweh. And Yahweh is the Old Testament word for God. So when the word is attached to Jesus, it is a reference to his deity, the fact that he is God. This got Jesus in great trouble in Matthew chapter 22. The Pharisees are struggling with the fact that they believed Messiah was to be a man, but that was all they understood. So Jesus comes to him and says, well, if Messiah is only a man, then why would David say his son was also his Lord? Psalm 110 verse 1. Why would David say that the son who would come from him would also be the master over him? It says they didn't know how to answer him. But that's what got him killed in Matthew chapter 26, verses 41 to 43 and verses 63 to 65. It says, this man makes himself to be the Son of God. Crucify him. What crucified Jesus was his claim to be Lord, Yahweh of the Old Testament. So when the Bible says that his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, it is bringing his deity, Lord, alongside of his humanity, Jesus, fulfilling the office of Christ. So God, Lord, Jesus, man, Christ, office, anointed one, prophet, priest, and king. He says that Jesus Christ must be confessed as Lord. Now, you must believe him to be the Lord, to be saved. But you must confess him as the Lord for your salvation to work. There are many Christians on their way to heaven. Well, if you're Christian, you're on your way to heaven. Christians who are on their way to heaven who have to wait till they get there to see it. Because while they have trusted Jesus Christ, they have not confessed him. He says that it is in the confession of Jesus as Lord that you are saved. You get righteousness by your faith in Christ, verse 10 says, but you only get delivered by your confession of Christ. What is missing today in the church and among Christians is failure to recognize and place themselves underneath the Lordship of Jesus Christ. To recognize his comprehensive supremacy over all of life. There is no part of life that sits outside of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whether it's in word or deed, it must all be done to the Lord, referring to Jesus Christ. And not only must you believe that, you must confess that. On the cross, Jesus paid for your sins. But with the resurrection, he provides for your life. The failure to confess, to publicly acknowledge your association with Jesus Christ, blocks you being delivered in history. Let me put it another way. You can't skip Christ and get attention from God. 1 John 5:23 says, if you deny the Son, you deny the Father. So if you skip Jesus and association with him while trying to get God to deliver you, he says, you didn't just deny the Son, you denied the Father.
And Dr. Evans says there are a lot of people doing that these days. He'll come back to talk about that in just a moment. First, this.
We all enjoy a great story. How about the story of a man sent to earth to save us? He was called many things. He was described as a son, a friend, a teacher, a savior. His name is Jesus, and there is much more to his story in his name. Dr. Tony Evans' book, The Power of Jesus Names, will help you discover the life and character of Jesus, ultimately giving you a deeper understanding of who you are and what Jesus is and what he came to do for you. Call today to get your copy of Dr. Tony Evans' book, The Power of Jesus Names, 1-800-800-3222. Again, 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans' signature storytelling style makes The Power of Jesus Names a fascinating journey. Take your story to a whole new level. Again, call 1-800-800-3222 or visit TonyEvans.org.
When you do, we'll send you a copy of The Power of Jesus Names as our gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any size. Along with it, you'll get a whole package of special bonuses. It starts with his new 11-message series, Encountering Jesus' Names. There's also the Power of Jesus' Names study guide and a companion DVD loaded with custom content recorded by Dr. Evans on location in Israel, not available anywhere else. 4 powerful resources, all yours with our thanks when you make any donation. We can only make this rare quadruple offer for a limited time, and we don't want you to miss out. So get in touch with us today by visiting TonyEvans.org, where you can find all the details and make the arrangements. Or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. Team members are standing by around the clock to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's message. Let's join him.
We live in a day where there's no shame. And people will confess illegitimate allegiances. They want to be recognized in illegitimate relationships. They want you to accept that which is outside of what is acceptable to a holy God, and they will let you know, this is who I am. I'm not hiding. This is who I am. Get used to it. Well, now, if they can confess that in public with no shame, then you and I ought to make it clear, appropriately clear, kindly clear, but absolutely clear, I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the failure to do that means he will not save. That is deliverance in history. He's not talking about eternity. He's talking to believers. It has to do with his intervention with his people in time and space. 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and give a reason to anybody who asks you. Your rationale for the hope that's in you. Why do you act like you act? Why do you do what you do? Why do you talk like you talk? Or why are you different than other people here? Why don't you do what we do? And you don't get silent. You confess. You fess up. I have a Lord. He's ruler over all. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, he says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. And if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. He says, your confession or denial will affect what my daddy does or does not do. If you are ashamed of me out there, then I'm going to be ashamed of you. I'm good enough to take you to heaven, but you want to keep quiet about me on earth. I was asked to go down to the city hall and open it up in prayer. And then they sent me a letter that said, but don't mention Jesus. They said, don't mention Jesus. Pray, but don't mention Jesus, because that will offend too many people. So I went down there. And I said, shall we pray? I said, now, Father, the city council has asked me to come and to pray to you for their meeting today. I can only assume by their request that they want me to reach you. And since they want me to reach you, you've told me there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Now, I thank you for creating the city council, because if you hadn't created them, then they wouldn't be here to serve us. And according to your word, everything that was created by Christ Jesus. I want to thank you for creating government, because government was created by you, according to Romans 13. And it was written by Paul, who met Jesus on the Damascus Road. Would you bless their decision making in Jesus' name? Amen. So let me make a suggestion. If you don't want to hear about Jesus, don't invite me. Because I need a lot of saving on earth. I need a lot of divine intervention on earth. I need God to intervene for me on earth. And because I need his intervention on earth, I will not shame that name. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about being bombastic. I'm not talking about, you know, not working and talking about Jesus when you're supposed to be doing your job at work. What I'm talking about is shying away from the identification. That's what I'm talking about. Shying away that I am what I am and I do what I do because of my identification with Jesus Christ, which then qualifies me, watch this, it qualifies me to call on his name. You see that in the text? He says in Romans chapter 10, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved or delivered. Will be saved or delivered. But he's not talking about going to heaven. That's not the qualification for going to heaven. He's talking about being delivered in history from the world, the flesh, the devil, and being able to overcome. I love Revelation 12 verse 11. Revelation 12 verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the word of their testimony. They had to speak the word of their testimony. They had to testify about their association and identification. And those who call on the name of the Lord because they've confessed the name of the Lord will find deliverance in history. You cannot be ashamed of him out there, but then call on him out there. To turn this around, to overcome this in your life, to beat back the satanic attack. If you are ashamed of public association, that is a denial of the relationship, even though you legally may have it. You must confess in order to be free to call. But he that calls on the name of the Lord, because they have confessed the name of the Lord, the promise is he will not be disappointed. He says God will break in. But let me explain this. This is not a buffet. Let's get this straight. It's not a buffet. See, when you go through a buffet line, you pick and choose what you want. I want a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but I don't want any of that. Skip the salad, you know. I want the dessert. No, Mom, let me see. I like those vegetables, don't like those vegetables. And then we come to the end of the line. This is not a buffet. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says Christ is over all. So there is no area of your life to which he cannot speak into. There's no area of your life, your work, your finances, your relationship, your attitude. There is no area he can't speak into and overrule. And until the lordship question is settled, heaven will stay a long way away. And his divine presence, intervention, transformation, deliverance, healing that you could have and should have will be denied you. He will say no. Because he doesn't want to help you to deny his son further. But he who calls on the name of the Lord. Let me just read this to you. Colossians 1. You need to hear it because here's the problem. For a lot of Christians, Jesus is, he's prominent, but not yet preeminent. Let me say it again. Jesus is popular, and he's prominent. I mean, you didn't have to come to church this morning. You could have stayed at Bedside Baptist or Mattress Methodist, and you know. But he was prominent enough that you decided to get up and come to church. That's a good thing. He's prominent enough that you'll say grace before you eat. He's prominent enough that his name will come up. Maybe you'll read a Bible verse before you get started in the morning. And so he's prominent enough that he gets some of your attention. But when he has to compete with other affections, things you really like, then his prominence may decrease because you like this more. So let me read you chapter 1, just a few verses of Colossians, where Paul writes these words about Jesus. He says in verse 15, "For he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. And in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything." And that leads to the concluding verse in Philippians chapter 2, where he says in verse 9, "For this reason God hath highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name, which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven, of those who are on earth, of those who are underneath the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord." God just doesn't want you to confess Jesus. He just doesn't want you to confess Jesus Christ. He wants you to confess that Jesus is Lord. Why? To the glory of the Father. Which means God gets excited when he sees you recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ. He gets discouraged when he sees us as believers deny the lordship, the rulership, and fail to confess the ownership of Jesus Christ. But when we do that, we begin to honor and glorify the Father, which gives him our undivided attention.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final story about the law of the jungle and why it might be the perfect model for true Christ followers. But if you don't understand what it means to make Jesus the Lord of your life and come to him by faith to forgive everything you've ever done wrong, there's nothing in the world more important than finding out. Here's Dr. Evans with a word about why.
You only have two options to get to heaven. One, you can be as good as God. That's perfect because God is perfect and he only accepts perfection. But if you can't do it that way, he has another way, and that is grace. He will give you salvation free of charge by your accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He will give you perfection and credit it to you.
Learn more about what that means and why it's so important. Visit TonyEvans.org, click on the top menu, and follow the link that says Jesus. Tony has a quick video that explains it all, and you'll find some free follow-up resources there as well. That's TonyEvans.org. And while you're there, don't forget to take advantage of that special offer I told you about earlier. You'll get the brand new book, The Power of Jesus' Names, along with the interactive study guide and resource DVD full of custom content from Tony, plus the full-length version of all 11 messages in his current teaching series, Encountering Jesus' Names. All four are yours with our thanks when you help us out with a contribution of any size to help us bring you this program every day. Again, this special four-resource offer won't be available for long, so be sure to visit TonyEvans.org right away for details. You can also get some in-person help from a member of our resource team by calling 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. People whose parents came from different places in the world sometimes say they're part this and part that. But no matter how many parts they list, they only add up to 100%. Well, next week, Dr. Evans explains why that limitation doesn't apply to Jesus. Right now, though, he's back with a final story for us.
In closing, there was a boy who was about to be mauled by a lion. Find the lion and had leaped at him and got his paws on him. But there was a missionary who was a hunter, and he saw the event and he picked up his rifle and he shot the lion. Killed the lion. The boy had been injured, and so he picked the boy up and took him back to his tribe in Africa, and they healed him. The missionary went back to his house. A few weeks later, he hears noise coming toward his house. The missionary does. And the noise is the boy with a whole line of people behind him carrying things. The boy walks up on the porch of the missionary. The people following the boy bring their baskets and put it on the porch of the missionary. The missionary said, "Well, what are you doing?" The boy said, "Oh, I'm coming to live with you." The missionary said, "You're what?" "Oh, I'm coming to live with you." "What do you mean you're coming to live with me? I don't understand." Well, he says, "It's the law of the jungle." He says, "The law of the jungle is when somebody saves your life, they own you. When they saved your life, they own you. You delivered me. I would have been dead if it weren't for you. And because the only reason I'm alive is because of what you did, I'm going to spend the rest of my life saying thank you for your deliverance. So I'm here to serve you." But the missionary said, "But you don't have to do that." "Oh, I know I don't have to do it, but it's the law of the jungle. And in the law of the jungle, you got to be grateful for somebody who delivered you from certain death. If you're here today and God has saved you, if you've been forgiven for all of your sins and you have eternity waiting for you, God has delivered you from certain death. So it ought not be that hard. It's the law of the kingdom for you to bring your life, your dreams, your hopes, your desires, your relationships, and lay them at the cross and say, 'I'm here to serve you. And I'm not going to apologize to my peeps. I'm not going to apologize to my homeboys, homegirls, co-workers that I belong to you, because they didn't save my life. They didn't deliver me. They didn't forgive me. They didn't give me heaven. You did that. And so you own me.'"
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.